Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined in the studio by boxer Savannah Marshall.
Yes.
Who's on great form. She's moving into the world of MMA and may get the opportunity to avenge her defeat to Clarissa Shields in a new discipline, as she explained. Ian Stone came in, Arsenal supporting comedian.
Yeah, he was on good form.
He was. He's very misty-eyed about the Gooners at the moment, understandably, with the form they're in. We also spoke to the organiser of a marathon that somehow incorporated a penalty shootout within it. Which is bizarre. He also has run a lot of marathons and some weird and wonderful ones, which he told us about.
He did.
We had a bit of a chat.
We did.
And we played the birthday spread with Max Rushton, who was back today, kindly coming off the bench for Charlie. And it was quite the battle. So, here it all is. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Paul.
Well, you were at... possibly the least entertaining game of the evening.
The most exciting thing, I took a photo of it, was the two managers dressed virtually the same.
Yeah.
It's quite incredible. Both wearing the Rishi Sunak plain white 355-pound trainer.
Nice. Okay.
Very nice.
With the sort of dark cagoules.
Yeah.
Was it raining heavily where you were or not?
No, not really. It was good to see Moose there. We had a chat at half-time. That was good. And then some of the things that were exciting about last night.
What, seeing the Moose was the most
was more exciting
thing.
Than the football.
Wow, it was a bleak night.
Games of football, I was thinking about this afterwards, you just need that moment of magic to ignite them.
Yeah.
And the longer it goes without a goal, the more dull it gets.
Can you remember the worst game you ever saw?
That was one of them.
Really, was it?
It was a poor game, yeah.
I watched 5 minutes of highlights.
I think Southampton against Chelsea on Boxing Day was a 0-0. That was pretty grim, yeah. But, you know.
I wonder if it's worse if you haven't got any skin in the game. I had a good friend, an Evertonian, and we went to a game once, and I've mentioned it before, but it was definitely the worst game I ever saw. And some of the listeners may remember it if they're Everton or QPR fans. It was late 80s, I think, maybe early 90s. Everton QPR, and Roy Wegley at the post after about a minute. And then nothing else happened till about the 70th minute when Mark Ward, the old Everton player, the ball was played into him and he did an air shot and fell over. And everything else is a complete blur. It's an absolute dog with fleas.
No, there's no jeopardy, that's even worse.
It was quite a terrible game.
It was interesting, though.
If you want to share the worst game you ever saw, I mean, give us a bit of context. We'd love to know about it. But why? Why was it so... it really has to be very uneventful, doesn't it? And it's almost certainly going to be 0-0. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J 03717223344.
The bloke and his son behind us, they were like sort of a cross between coaching and commentary, and they kept referring, every time a Brentford player touched the ball, they named them.
Oh, right.
So, like, good play, Yano. Ivan's on and all this sort of thing.
I'm sorry, it's like he was coaching.
At one point...
Did the bloke leave his technical area at any point?
He was doing it from the stand.
Exactly.
It was quite amazing. Every player... And, his son was sort of overly optimistic in expectation of what the player with the ball might do.
Yeah.
Like at one point, I think Yannick was marked by about, he was pressed by about two or three Brighton players, and Tony was marked by at least two centre halves. And he goes, shouts, Ivan's on. You think, well, he isn't, is he? He's definitely just not on at all, whatever happens.
Possibly if you're, if you're Phil Foden, he's on. But
yeah.
Anybody else, maybe not.
Great ball Collins and all this sort of thing. But, you know, but they did tell me, though, about an incident that I missed on Saturday at the Brentford, at the Manchester United game, where it was quite a large gentleman sitting not necessarily in my seat but sitting in that area, and it's quite hard at Brentford to get past the people who are standing there, at half time at the end they sort of stand up and you try to squeeze your way past, and this bloke was quite big,
right, okay,
and he basically trapped this woman
Oh, no.
She was, like, wedged in.
It's like a disaster
film. She had to call the stewards. I'm trapped.
Oh, no.
No.
So what, he tried to push past her,
yeah,
but because of his girth...
He got stuck and she got stuck next to the...
They have to call the fire brigade.
Well, I think she... Somehow I think they did wedged
to,
her out.
Did have
I
wasn't grease, there. Had to grease them. Antoine greased them.
I had no idea.
Wow, what about
I
that?
Wish I'd been there, but it did sound very funny, but there you go.
Well, probably not for the two...
No, not that.
Oh, the humanity.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The Michael Burke voiceover on 999. You could get a bit of Jeopardy involved.
What they do at Brentford, which is very nice. When you leave the game, when you leave the stadium, they go, goodbye, thanks for coming, good night, good evening.
Well, and the stewards.
Yes.
Yeah, our stewards do that.
They do
that
at Chelsea.
No, they do. They never used to in the new stadium.
Too busy swearing to hear them.
in the new stadium, they say, yeah, thanks for coming and all that, you know.
No, they don't. So, yeah. Well, I'll check tonight, but I don't think they do.
It'd be nice if they had a greeter to show you to your chair, wouldn't it? Oh, hello, Mr. Hodge. It'd be lovely to see you again.
Die, Llewellyn.
You want your usual seat? Well, it's a season ticket, Reeves. I've got no choice, have I? Yeah. We've got your usual seat in view of the pitch. Oh, thank you very much.
He used to do that for a living, Di Llewellyn. I don't think he's with us anymore. But
Di Llewellyn, the famous Playboy boyfriend of Princess Margaret.
He was a greeter at Wedges.
That's a nice contemporary reference, Andy. You are Mr. Zeitgeist, aren't you?
I certainly am.
Doing all the new material.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about
I was going to say, the City Villa. I watched the first half of Arsenal, you know, which was that was enough of that because the job was done, really.
Absolutely,
I think we realised that. It was a tough old night for Luton. And Ian Stone will chat more about that later. But I did watch City Villa. And Villa had their chances. They could have
got it back to the game 2-2. On the way back from Brentford.
There was a couple of opportunities in the same passage of play that could have changed it. But second half, City just stepped up. I mean, they are
2-1,
absolutely
2-1 though. Villa had chances, didn't they?
I know,
they?
So, you know. But they are absolutely. It was joyous to watch it. Some of the. I mean, look, I know there are people out there. There's 115 reasons why they find it a difficult watch. But I'm afraid in the moment.
Well,
just watching that.
We'll talk about some of this later. There's the football, and then there's the politics and the money. There's
watching
two different
that football
things, isn't it?
is an absolute joy. If I was a City fan, I was going every week in the moment, whatever may or may not happen down the road. What they get to witness week in week out is, and that was with three or four big players missing. It was sensational stuff second half, and they, you know, they did for Villa. And I was listening to Dance and Troy Deeney after the game when they were chatting just towards the end. I mean, I took the dog for a walk. There was no jeopardy at 4-1, but they were on good form. Troy and Dance were very good.
Very good commentary, it was.
And Dance making the point, this was Villa. This was a team that was only four points behind them before they kicked off, and they just sort of brushed them aside in the second half.
So. Yeah, well, you know, there's a big difference between the top three and everybody else.
Absolutely.
We know that.
We'll get Stan's take on that tomorrow. Stan Collymore, of course, who still felt at half-time they were in with a shout. And I suppose had they made it 2-2.
Yeah, they were.
He would have been
right.
Was,
you know, a bit nervy. I see that Rob McElhenney, the Hollywood actor who owns Wrexham, is making a provocative documentary series, according to the Times, about the enhanced games.
Yeah.
This is the event for doped athletes.
I kind of sensed, you know, from what you found out about him in Welcome to Wrexham, that it won't be a celebration of it. I imagine it will be a fairly nuanced take.
It sounds dreadful.
Yeah, I mean, the whole event sounds dreadful.
Oh, dreadful. Though I am looking forward to the Moose taking on Joey Chestnut in the Got the Munchies eating competition.
That's right.
Tremendous.
Okay. Well, we're getting a lot of worst games ever. We'll bring you some of those. Yes. Nobody in the South Stand welcomed you. This is at the Wall at Tottenham. This comes from Paul. He says, we just get, can I see your ticket? It's normally on the way out.
No, on the way out.
On the way
out. This is the way out.
Thanks for coming. Yeah, we don't have a greeter, but we have someone to see us on our way. Yeah.
And I tell you what we didn't mention from last night, the one moment that was really quite encouraging. Andy Madley overruling Michael Oliver.
Yeah.
Although, did he overrule him? Or, you know, we don't really know. There seems to be a difference
We always turn to Mr. VAR from ESPN. That's a lot of initials. Dale Johnson. And Dale immediately said, well done, Andy Madley.
Adley Madley.
That's what they call him. His real name's Hadley. He's not an Andy.
Hadley,
he changed
Madley.
It. The parents thought they'd have a laugh. They had Bobby and they had Hadley. But he calls himself Andrew's his middle name. So now we know. Sorry, Hadley, the truth's out there. So anyway, Hadley Madley.
Yeah.
He went to the screen, and although it's been seen as a kick in the teeth to Michael Oliver because he owes
Oliver.
It's
his other name.
Exactly. What actually happened was Michael Oliver, according to Dow, I guess got this from Stockley Park fairly quickly, was given the options. They said, there's the initial pull of the shirt. It's up for you to decide whether you think That is a penalty.
Why is he
to
getting
Brighton.
Involved if he's not sure? You know, I do think that's a, you know, I'm glad Madley overruled.
Well, no,
him,
but this, because I, no,
surely you if you call the ref to the screen, it's because you think
because the second foul on Dunk is a mistake because it should be a penalty. So he has to highlight the fact that he has missed a penalty because it's a clear and obvious error. So he has to highlight that, but he's saying to him, but you may feel there was a Dunk shirt pawn Visser first, and if that's the case, it's up to you. So, and that's what he does because he gives a free kick the other way.
No, absolutely.
But it was good. It's I think Dale was saying it's only really happened in about 2021, and that was Andy Madley as well, apparently. So there we are. Go. Well done, Ian. Okay, we want more of that. We want more refs going to the screen and saying, no, I'm going to stick with my original decision.
That's what it should be.
So, worst game you ever saw. The other thing was our producer, Jamie Adair, has alerted us to a little story from Barcelona, which is a bit weird and wonderful. Let's have a look at this. Yeah, so apparently after their win against Atletico, the players were given MacBooks. The Barcelona players were given MacBooks as a reward.
Are they allowed to do that?
Well, just a little gift from the club.
I suppose so.
For a win. I don't know. I don't know the rules around the league. But it's backfired because only the players received the gift and the coaching staff are now feeling disappointed by the whole thing. They feel let down.
But, you know, these blokes earn about, you know, 70 to 100 to 300 grand a week. They can afford their own MacBook. They don't need a MacBook.
I mean, they've obviously got some sort of deal with Mac or the local, you know.
Well, it's paying off on here.
Apple shop. Well, I mean, we'll take one if you give. They're obviously Barcelona. Want to anyway?
I've got one. I can recommend them.
Oh, okay. Do you need a new one?
I don't.
Oh, fair enough.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We're asking about the worst game you ever saw. Andy's thought last night's game between Brentford and Brighton. That was right up there. Donny V Fleetwood says Andrew Thackeray 8 years ago to the point that the club's YouTube highlights were the pre-match handshakes. Sending a message. You can keep those coming. We've had some good ones. Talksport.com, text 1889, tweet TSH and J 03717223344. Well, we hope for a bit more entertainment for Andy tonight at the Bridge. Chelsea, Manchester United. You were telling me, Andy, that Man United have got a bit of a sign over Chelsea.
Chelsea haven't been. I think the last time Morata got the win, so I seem to tell you how long ago it is. There was a whole series of draws, 0-0s and 1-1s, and I think the last three or four have been United, and the game at Old Trafford, Chelsea, one of Chelsea's worst performances of the season, ironically one of United's best. I think they still think, you know, that they approach a game differently when they're playing Chelsea than when they play Brentford, so I think they'll be up for it.
Well,
it's going to be difficult. Apparently, though, Eric Ten Hag has warned Sir Jim Ratcliffe again.
Yes,
he's always warning him, isn't he, every 5 minutes?
He's quite brave to keep warning him.
He hasn't warned him at all.
Hopefully we can get a better line to Jamie. We'll talk about this because, well, he's basically said that everything's going swimmingly. This is the young side. Everything's heading in the right direction. We're all doing very well. Don't interrupt the process, he says. We have good young players coming through, developing very well. We're in a good way, a good direction. We just need to take the next steps. You need to follow the process.
My problem with United is there's no pattern of play. What United have got is some very, very good individuals.
Yeah.
And there have been a number of games this season where they've sort of stunk the place out but grabbed a winner late or, you know.
I mean, Brentford was a pretty good example of that. They could easily get in the draw.
They almost won the game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're sort of getting away. He's getting away with it a bit. I think they're, you know, they've got better players than the way they're performing.
Yeah. He would probably argue that in the process of building this young side, the fact he's getting away with it is an accomplishment. He might argue.
Is it enough for United to be sixth? I don't think it is. You know, I mean, not that Chelsea can talk, but I mean, you know, United, I think, would be hoping. This season, you thought they might challenge, but.
What are you expecting?
Nowhere near it.
What are you expecting at Chelsea tonight then?
What do you get? I mean, what do you know? You just don't know.
What sort of team are they going to put out tonight?
I mean, I think he's got a strongish team. I mean, he's got his usual 10 or 11 injuries every week. But, you know, it's difficult to say. You know, they're such a funny team. I mean, Saturday was a great example of that. They battled away to get the lead again against 10 men. They score a goal. And Palmer was brilliant, instrumental in scoring the goal. Then he rushes up the other end of the field, makes a daft tackle that he couldn't win the ball.
Yeah.
They give away a free kick. The free kick goes for a corner and they score from a corner. And that's very typical of what Chelsea do. When they score or when they concede, there's a sort of collective madness comes over the team in some way. I just don't get it. But, you know,
What about sort of leaders on the pitch? Who do they look to at the moment?
Well, that's another problem, isn't it? I suppose Gallagher and Palmer's a bit of a leader, and you know, but they're a bit
lacking. That points at that, doesn't it? If a team immediately concedes after they've scored,
And also they're bottom of the table for total distance run,
really,
which I think is a bit disappointing.
Which is, in a Pochettino team, it's disappointing. That is very odd.
I know.
So, I don't forget the first Klopp game, it was against us. And the two teams just ran themselves absolutely into the ground.
I think that's what he was hinting at, I think, in his press conference. He's hoping that they, you know, he wants them to do more.
Because that was, you know, that they
beat. But, you know, they could go out there and play really well and win the game. I mean, they've matched up quite well with the top teams this season. So we'll see, apart from that game at Old Trafford when they were especially poor, I thought. But we'll see.
A draw, you reckon the most likely outcome tonight? Or
it's a possibility, yeah. I mean, you wouldn't be massively surprised. Chelsea could do with a win, though.
Well, we never got round to speaking to Jamie. We brought you a few of this sort of... We'll try a little bit later on, if we can, to get a United angle on tonight. You're going to hear it live. We were asking you about your worst games ever that you witnessed. And can you imagine trying to turn people onto football with a bad game? That's what happened to Nick, the Orient fan. My uni friends from America were desperate to see a Premier League match about 2001. I said, don't worry, there's a game this weekend at White Hart Lane. They're playing Charlton Athletic. Went along, Spurs nil, Charlton nil. It's an absolute dog. No chances, nothing. My friends were not impressed. See, that one hit you had to turn Americans onto football, and it didn't take.
Can't understand a draw at the best of times, let alone a nil-nil draw.
Glenn, the Brighton fan, said, Andy, the best thing about the game at Brentford last night was arriving at Gunnersbury Station. The announcer was trying to explain that the station would be closed for an hour after the game. He completely lost his way with the times and ended up just shouting, well, anyway, after the game, just don't come here. Thank you, Glenn.
Again, what's that about? You know, surely that's helpful rather than have all the... people going into one station. You never understand these things, but there we go.
What have we got?
A security issue.
Yes. We are. When gifting goes bad, we mentioned the Barcelona players have been gifted by the club's hierarchy MacBooks as a little thank you for beating Atletico, but the coaches didn't get them. So it's caused a bit of a schism in the dressing room. Coaches are feeling they've been forgotten because the players got them and they didn't.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's backfired. So when gifting goes bad, Mark from Leeds said, gentlemen, ladies, on no account do I recommend anybody do what I did. I bought my wife a month's pass for Slimming World for her birthday.
not a great idea,
Mark.
Really. That's a really bad idea.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. You do wonder, don't you, in about 40, 50 years' time, whether every sporting event will take place in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, I think it will, yeah.
You'll be watching like Arsenal versus Chelsea in Saudi Arabia.
That'll be Chelsea's home ground.
Yeah, probably will be. We are looking to build a new stadium, aren't you? Maybe that's, you know, just, yeah, future-proof it. Build it there.
Quite a long way from Chiswick to Riyadh, though.
Yeah, I think it is. Anyway, joining us in the studio now after a comfortable, relaxed win against Luton Town last night is Arsenal supporting comedian Ian Stone. Good afternoon, Ian.
Afternoon. It wasn't that relaxed, I'll be honest. Not
really?
Before. Not before. Once we started playing and we realised, oh, yeah, OK, they're good this lot. And they've got a lot of injuries. We thought, OK, but it wasn't... Every game's important now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
When you saw the changes, because he did change things, but, you know, to be fair, the players that came in, they did step up. But what did you make of that? Were you a bit concerned or not?
No, I went to Manchester City on the weekend, as you said, and that was the most tiring thing that I've ever done,
yeah.
I think. Aside from the five-hour coach journey there and the five-hour coach journey back, it was draining just to watch it, and I cannot even imagine what it was like to play it and live it. And you could see the players at the end just collapse. So, I mean, Man City left out De Bruyne and Haaland last night.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think everyone was just knackered, fans included. And I thought to myself, make some changes and go... We're going for the title, lads. You've got to produce. And they did. So I thought they would. And I was glad.
It was incredibly dull on Sunday, but you could see the logic behind what he was doing, the reason he did it. It wasn't great for the neutral.
No.
But that's not what he's there for.
He's not there to please us on a Sunday afternoon.
No, and I remember watching Mourinho's Chelsea winning titles. The only real difference is you had Didier Drogba up front and you'd have had one chance, you'd have scored it. You saw plenty of football like that. More than we have, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, but Man City are so good and they've scored at home for 57 games in a row.
Yeah.
I agree it wasn't it was a purist game, really. And I get it. But as an Arsenal fan, when you're watching them do that, sure. You feel defiant and you love that defence.
Yeah.
And so I was genuinely happy at the end. And people moaning, going, oh, this is our chance to beat them. And you go, this Man City, can you get a grip? We've been spanked there for the last 8 years.
Yeah, and you look at last night. I mean, Villa did their best, but, you know, and I wouldn't say they went toe-to-toe with them as such, but, you know, when you do kind of do that, that's what can happen to
their
you.
Their chances at 2-1, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
But if they'd got it back to 2-2, City probably
they just. I mean, they did have another gear second half.
Liverpool have learnt to go toe-to-toe with them. Yeah. They're so good. We're just coming up to that level now, is how it feels.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy for us to get a 0-0 draw and move on. And I'm sort of enjoying it,
yeah.
Except for the 90 minutes each week when I'm actually watching it.
You mentioned that fatigue last night, because it's interesting. I was listening to the sports bar guys afterwards, and a couple of Arsenal fans phoned in and said, it's an odd atmosphere. It's very flat last night. Maybe because everybody had put so much into Sunday emotionally.
Partly. Yeah. Partly that. I think also there were five replacements on the pitch. I reckon there were at least 20,000 replacements in the stands as well. People have gone away for Easter, and so people turned up. But I can't believe that people left 10 minutes before the end. Mm. It really gets me. I know it was dull.
Yeah.
I get it. But at the same time, you have to sort of be there for the effort. That's my feeling. They're making such an effort, and we are proud of them.
Yeah.
And I'm just start getting tearful now. But we are proud of them, and I think people should stay and applaud them, because
don't go very often. I mean, I don't see why you would do that. If you are someone who gets maybe a couple of games a season.
It was an early kickoff as well.
And you're 2-0 up. It's not like this. It wasn't a great deal of jeopardy with respect to Luton at that stage.
Listen, there are only four different ways of getting home from the Emirates, and obviously that's not enough for some people. I would like people to stay. But I'm happy with the way it's going, of course.
Yeah, I don't see them blowing it like last year. I mean, you can never factor in injuries, so you don't know what's going to happen. But given the way it is, you feel it's going to go all the way.
Watching our defence, I mean, we got the best defence in the country and possibly in Europe. And watching that defence, you think, oof, they're going to take some beating. They are. And that's how I think they're feeling about it. And I'm starting to feel the same way. Doesn't mean we'll win it. Could finish third, because we're up against two amazing teams and two amazing managers. But people should appreciate the journey a little bit, where they've come from. 3.5 years ago, we were 13th and losing home to Burnley.
Did you ever doubt Arteta?
Yeah. I have to say that straight away.
Well,
I think almost every Arsenal fan, I do have a mate, Sean, who might be listening, who didn't have any doubts. And I used to go to him and just sort of drink from that well once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, really, Sean, it'll be fine. He goes, yeah, mate, just relax. He's good. He knows what he's doing. Most Arsenal fans thought, no, this is not going to work. But he got lucky, didn't he? Because when he had his bad patch, it was during the pandemic, and there weren't 60,000 fans in the stadium seeing him lose 1-0 at home to Burnley, for example, and Xhaka getting sent off. So there wasn't as much noise. So I think he got lucky in that sense. But what he's done is spectacular.
He's had the support. He's had the support of the board. I mean, to go out and spend £105 million on a player, that's not... Not every club up there will do that.
Two and a half years ago, we were outside the Emirates saying we want Kroenke out and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And what he's done is he's given it to Josh, and Josh seems to get it and seems to get Arteta, and there seems to be a hierarchy. Everything seems to be working in the right way, and they do trust him, but results... The FA Cup win bought him a bit of time as well, but results have been good, and he's bought well. I mean, the four players he got, Havertz, sorry, Andy.
He's doing all right.
He is doing all right. He's doing better than I think most people expect him to do.
It took him a bit of time.
David Raya, you could say the same thing. Declan Rice has been brilliant. And we haven't even seen Urien Timber. I mean, that's four good buys, I think. So in the end, they've trusted him, and he has delivered.
Smith Rowe was great last night. I mean, I only saw the first half.
Love him, man.
But he played really well. I mean, his game time is still going to be very limited, though, unless there's injuries from now at the end of the season.
Yes.
Like Reece Nelson, all those guys who try to step up, they've got to be ready if the chance comes. But unless you get injuries, then they're not really going to get a look in, are they?
I mean, with these teams, obviously Man City and Liverpool do rotate, don't they? Mm. But you do have a first team, but you have to have a squad that is going to step up. And the boys have learnt they have to be at a certain level, and some have learnt quicker than others. You know, and Emile, it's taken time, and he's had injuries as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But he did well last night, and I don't know a single Arsenal fan who wasn't delighted for him.
Mm.
It's interesting, though, in a season where teams have been decimated. I mean, Chelsea have not gone into a game without anything less than 10 players out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not just them. That's a load of clubs in the Premier League.
Newcastle as well, yeah.
Arsenal have managed to...
Parties missed a lot this season. Timber's missed all of it, effectively.
Yeah, but generally, they've kept their key players fit.
Yeah, and that's what you need to do. And the other thing you don't want is cluster injuries. You don't want to lose all your fullbacks or all your centre-halves. Last year, we had a problem when we lost Tomiyasu and Saliba at the same time. It really killed us. So I think you need a bit of luck with injuries as well. But again, we're going up against two of the best teams and two of the best managers ever been in the Premier League. And so I'm enjoying it, and I think people should appreciate it.
And for 24 hours, it kind of is in your hands. You would expect Liverpool to win again tonight and go back to the top of the table.
I'm hoping for no more than five.
I mean, the goal difference, we saw that last night. Well, we saw City make up some ground goal difference. You're in the box seat goal difference.
We are, and this is unusual for us as well. We've never been in the box seat with plus 47 or whatever it is. They've done great. They've done great, and I'm genuinely loving it. But it feels different from last year. Last year was like, I said this to you, it's like a waking dream last year, and blissful, but we knew it was going to end. This year it feels a bit more business-like, and you're going, oof, we could.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
So let's talk about what you're up to. You're going back to the Edinburgh Fringe this year. Ian Stone is keeping it together.
Actually, I don't know how when I'm going to the Edinburgh Fringe every year.
You can't actually say what your tour's called, but it's a great title.
Yes.
It's very impressive. So at last, we'll put it that way.
Oh, that's not what it's called. That's a quote.
Oh, right.
About.
Oh, I thought that was
about blooming time.
You can.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Right. No, but people have said to me I should be going on tour. I mean, I love doing the comedy circuit. I genuinely do. I turn up at these gigs and it's great. But when you put your head above the parapet a little bit more, and I wanted to travel around the country and see if I could make this work, because it worked in Edinburgh and it has done the last few years. So I put in 21 dates in various towns, some of which I've never actually been to. I've never been to Borden.
Where is it?
I know it's in Hampshire.
Okay.
Hey, people of Borden, if you're listening, I'm coming, right? I'm actually coming to your town. I'm looking there on the 9th of November. To a certain extent, it's about who'll have me, right?
Yeah.
Where else would you want to be on the 9th of November?
9th of November, or the 28th in Luton. But I think that's the fun of it, really. You travel around the country and you see if people will come out. And it's not like, you know, I've been doing gigs for years and I've written a book and I'll do the telly show and the podcast. And so hopefully enough people we'll see what I'm doing and think, oh yeah, he's
the
funny.
The Instagram stuff you do is very funny, and that's a good showcase for you.
I think it is it's like your own little channel where you go, look, this is what I did the other day, and I like putting out stuff on there, and it has taken me quite a long time to get round to doing this, considering I'm now 88. You know, but
you're going to Stanwick as well.
I'm going there this evening. That is not a tour show. That is I'm going to Stanwick and St Neots.
Oh, okay.
This evening, if anybody's listening.
Stanwick and St Neots.
I know.
It's calling at Bristol Temple, mate.
It's the dream double, isn't it, really? Yeah, yeah. But you travel around. So I thought if I'm going to travel around anyway, I'll see if I can do my own show and get people to come and see me. And I'm very, very excited.
It's good. I must say, I really enjoyed doing the footballs on your show on BT Sport. It was really fun, and the show's fun.
Even I enjoyed it. I'm not a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, you watched it.
It was very good.
No, well, it's it. We've changed the format a little bit. Last year was comics. In fact, most of the time it's been just comedians talking about football. Whereas now we've done it where we're talking about individual clubs. And we did Chelsea, and Andy came on, and we've done West Ham, and we had Carlton Cole for West Ham. We had Paul Parker for Man United the other day. And we were talking just before we came on air about the possibility of doing a Tottenham one and how that is going to be with me sat surrounded by Tottenham
and
fans.
And I know that you'll time it after a North London derby win or something. So it would, you know.
It's jeopardy, though. There is jeopardy involved in doing something like that. I mean, the West Ham one we did... Luckily, we did after they won a game, because we were planning on doing it 2 weeks before when they just got beaten 6-0 by the Arsenal.
Right.
So you can imagine how miserable that would have been. Chelsea, there was no good time in the season where we could have chosen, to be honest. But
maybe
you had
straight
fun.
After the Tottenham game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium would have been about the best of the optimum.
Even then, that was the worst 4-1 win I've ever seen. It was, wasn't it? And it was the best 4-1 defeat I'd ever seen. But I really appreciated you coming on. I know you've been on the show when we've done it at home. Paul. It's a fun show. We just sit with your mates and talk about football.
Yeah.
There are worse ways of making it.
Have you got another one lined up?
We've got Liverpool next week. Again, we're doing it in London.
Right.
We've got Neil Ruddock.
coming. Oh, okay. Well, that'll be good fun.
Value. He's excellent value. So hopefully people will. And if you fancy coming to that, it's at Chiswick. It's at the same venue.
Oh, really?
We do them all. We do them all in that club. It's a comedy club that we all like.
Yeah, it's a
we
nice
do
venue.
It, and it's at the Jules the Fourth in Chiswick next
are
Wednesday.
Tickets
night.
Available.
Tickets are available. If you come on my Instagram, Ian Stone Comedy.
Yeah.
Tickets are available. If you want to come on the tour, just go to my website, ianstonecomedian.co.uk.
Are you going to the North London Derby?
I'm not going to the North London Derby. Getting away tickets is incredibly difficult. I am going to Munich, though, in a couple of weeks.
That's
so
going to be interesting, the Champions League, what they do.
I think Arsenal have got a decent chance in the Champions League. I'd rather get Real Madrid than Man City again.
I think
you're
better than Bayern at the moment. You are. I fully expect you to get through.
I can't believe I'm saying this on the radio. And obviously, I hope we beat them 4-5-1.
Yeah.
But if anyone's going to score a goal in the Emirates Stadium, completely devoid of Bayern fans, it would be Harry Kane. And all we'd hear is the directors clapping above us in the box. There'd be something beautifully theatrical about that. But hopefully when we're 5-0 up.
I think we're all hoping Eric Dier gets the winner. That'd be even better. That'd be better than 9 for the halfway.
That would be good.
Oh, would it?
Well, Ian, lovely to see you.
Nice to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
IanStoneComedian.co.uk to check out the... The Edinburgh gigs... free and unticketed. So
people just turn up. They turn up 150 a day, hopefully, and then they give me money at the end. And you have to do a sort of speech. When I used to say, this is the awkward moment when a Jewish comedian asks a predominantly Scottish audience for money. Let's see who blinks first. And it was really funny. We'd have a laugh and people... So obviously, I've got to come up with a new one every year.
Yeah.
But yeah, people come in for free and after about 10 minutes, they watch you and go... You can do this, can't you? Yeah, I'm sort of getting the hang of it, and then they give you money at the end. That way. It's a bit like the Instagram stuff. It's offering stuff up, going, look, here's what I'm doing.
Yeah, brilliant.
August the 1st to the 25th, excluding the 12th. I'm always fascinated by that. Is that
just a day off?
what else do you think? No, they said not on the 12th.
Yeah.
Do not come near the theatre.
It's the grouse 12th. Season, isn't it? Yeah. Grouse shooting.
There's no point. Out with his blunderbuss.
That is my demographic.
Yeah, brilliant.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ooh, like a little national tip, don't
you,
we?
You
of
can
course.
See why they've done it, but it's going to take something away from the race. I mean, it's going to take something bad away from the race, but it's going to take something good away from the race too, I think.
But just the attritional nature.
Well, also
of it.
The number of horses that you can have, you know, for the family and all this.
It's still 34. That's a big field.
I thought you said 25.
No, 34 from 40.
Oh, I thought you said 25.
Oh, no,
sorry,
no,
I beg
it's not.
I thought
it's
you said 25.
No, I mean, it's just.
No, okay.
It's just, you know.
Sworn he said 25. Okay. No, that's why I'm reacting like that. No, 30, that's fine.
Yeah.
That
They needed to cut the field, you know. It's the optics of it at times are not at all good. So probably a sensible move. So, yeah, there we are. Panda Boy, 12-1, says Ryan. And I'm sure we'll be building up to that with Rupert Bell and Lizzie Kelly next week with the Aintree Festival.
Do you want to hear some criticism of TalkSport from CFC Roz?
Well, I don't want to hear any criticism of TalkSport, but who is CFC Roz?
Somebody wrote to the Daily Star.
OK, well, on that basis, I mean, I don't sound like I've got a great deal of choice. Who's he having a go at, then, or she?
Well, the whole station, really.
OK.
We're a sports station one day talking about curries the next. Tomato and brown sauce, It's ridiculous.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. They're like, oh, this is a couple of presenters. They're like two cackling schoolgirls. It's not us. I'm not going to name
them. OK, right. Well, we are, though. I mean, that's a pretty good... That's quite a good...
get adult presenters on. Okay. And send these two to CBBC.
OK.
I can't see that sort of thing, really.
No, I can't. OK, well, look, that's a... I mean, we don't live in a vacuum. We don't live in a sporting vacuum, do we?
No.
Other things go on in our lives.
And she's not happy about it.
Which we may touch on now and again. CFC Roz, we do apologise.
I do.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You'll recall Marine's excellent cup run, Merseyside Club, a few years back.
Did they play Tottenham?
They did play Tottenham, yeah. And it was the only time I ever bought a ticket for a game that I wasn't legally allowed to go to.
Oh, yeah.
As a great many fans did, not just Spurs fans. But the club are back in the news. I saw a little piece in the paper earlier this week that there is a special marathon going on this week, and there is a penalty shootout incorporated into it, as if running, say, 26-odd miles wasn't enough. The organiser is a seasoned marathon runner. He's run some weird and wonderful marathons. Paul Sutherland, and he joins us now. Hello, Paul.
Hiya.
So, tell us a bit more about the race. Well, at what point does the penalty shootout come up? Is it right at the end? Is it when you finish the race, that's the last thing you have to do?
It's completely up to you. The race is four laps if you're doing the full marathon. So you've got the choice of trying to take some at the beginning, during each lap, or at the end. So different tactics, I'm sure, will be used. You've got the same goalkeeper, who's a guy called Joe Marsh, on social media, the Scouse goalkeeper. So we've got a proper keeper. And we've got a proper, very much, we've got somebody with a WhatsApp group who's going to be putting the scores out to all the runners. So even if you're on the course, you'll see the score. You'll know who's scored and who's missed. I'm doing my 400th marathon, but Carl Randall is doing his 600th.
Wow.
I'm running, I take penalties as Marine, and he's taking penalties as Aston Villa. And we're running in our football tops. There's quite a few others doing the same. So you'll be going in and going on the WhatsApp group as whatever your football team is.
Wow.
And you should say it's for Alder Hey Hospital, which is a very good cause, isn't it? You're hoping to raise about $2,500. So you might raise more than that if people are listening.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great children's hospital and supports the whole of North West. It's possible because of volunteers like Formby Stormers, the ladies running group, are providing volunteers, and Crosby Park Run. And when you look at community football and we see the big Premier League clubs, you know, to be fair, you know, we wouldn't raise any money if it wasn't for Marine donating their stadium, providing the pitch and the facilities to allow us to raise money. So a big shout out to them for what they're doing for the community.
There's normally this chasm between sort of Premier League and clubs at Marine's level. But I think that sort of time of COVID and what happened in that cup run, the amount of people who did put their hands in their pockets, say, beyond the two teams or the club, the Premier League club involved, everybody, and I know it's, and we've spoken to the chairman of Marine, it's been transformative for the club, hasn't it, the money that came in?
Yeah, I mean, it's gone from a club that nobody had heard of to a club that the gate has trebled. They're fighting for the playoffs in the Northern Premier League. And just on Spurs, you know, Spurs have been brilliant in inviting the board and looking after Marine since the game as well. So, you know, and this isn't stuff for publicity for Spurs. They've done that just to look after a little club from the other end of the country. So Marine have really transformed in terms of where they are in the league standing, fighting for playoffs in a league above where they were when they were on that cup run. So it's changed the clubs unrecognisably.
I want to ask you, though, about your own marathon history, because we've got some bit of info here, and there's some intriguing things that you've done. Tell us about how you ran a marathon inside a German office. How did that work?
Well, the Germans are well known, as you know, for their sense of humour. So they have some very strange marathons. And they put on one in Nuremberg in an office. What I didn't bank for is, so you run around the sort of like all the office, massive open plan office, but then you have to go downstairs and run around the open plan office downstairs, back upstairs, run around and so on, which goes on for hours. But I didn't count on the fact it was on a Saturday, it was a hot day, and the aircon wasn't on in the office.
No.
So it became a sweat box. It was a bit crazy by the end.
What was your time? I mean, compared to what you normally do, based on the fact you were going up and downstairs?
Probably about 4:40 at the time. It was a good time at the time, but Germany's got a few crazy marathons. I ran in a World War II bunker system, which 50% of it was on stairs, and there was no windows because obviously it was a World War II bunker system, and that was crazy. That was 6.5 hours of pure madness.
You've done one in the 3/4 of a mile underground in a salt mine,
ridiculous.
Across the Australian outback, and a railway, the longest railway bridge. Where was that?
Again, back to those wonderful Germans. It was across a huge yard in Hamburg, and it was just backwards and forwards across a bridge. It was about 1.25 miles long. What I didn't ground for, the bridge wasn't flat. Because of the, obviously it's running up to the road, running down, so you're constantly running down or running up. It sounded easy, but it turned out to be quite tough.
What's been your favourite in 400? Is there a city or a marathon you've done that you loved, stand out?
I think running across the outback, which was for an Aboriginal charity, was a very special. Cooper Pedy, you occasionally see on the TV where they do the mines. I was staying in a cave. The night before, and then we ran across the outback. Usual stuff you can imagine. There was a dingo safety line. There was a couple of poisonous snakes spotted on the course, and it was amazing big skies. That was pretty special.
So, how can people support what you're up to tomorrow, Paul?
Well, we've got a link to the to the charity that I could send you, but obviously it's Alder Hey, the hospital. We've got a link for them. Which we can hopefully post by yourselves.
Well, we'll put it out. If you go to marinefc as well, .com, all the details are there, and hopefully there's a click through and can tell you how you can get involved. But we'll put out the sponsorship details on our Twitter feed as well. So look, we hope it goes well, and you raise lots of money. Give our love to everybody at Marine. Thank you very much, Paul.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Paul Sutherland there, the organiser of the Marine Penalty Marathon. So I think you can be running around at any point if you just fancy, think, this is the point I'm going to take a pen. You run onto the pitch and do it.
I'd rather leave it to the end.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We've been joined in the studio by two-weight boxing world champion Savannah Marshall, who is switching MMA. She's got a first fight up in Newcastle on June the 8th. Good to see you, Savannah.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Wow. So I'm just saying to you off air there, the training's been going okay, is it? Because, look, I mean, you know, it's a contact sport, but, you know, there's a lot more to it in terms of what you need to do.
Oh, 100%. And I'd be lying if I said that I didn't totally underestimate it. It's a lot harder than what I thought. A lot more to it.
I mean, is it just the amount? Obviously, there's different disciplines and stuff, but imagine it's even more tiring than boxing, isn't it?
It's different. Like, I think boxing's very cardio-based. You go in the gym, you're blasting the bags, you spar, whereas this is very strength-orientated. You know, when you're grappling on the floor, it's pure, like, strength.
And it's not your background. I mean, so quite a lot of people are going to it, they maybe started off in martial arts and then they box, but you went straight into the gym as a boxer, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. 8 months ago, I've never kicked, never grappled, never been on the floor. It's all brand new.
So finding an opponent, it's like all matchmaking, I guess, but finding an opponent that gives you a good workout.
Look, I got beat off Clarissa Shields, went away and won a undisputed super middleweight. So apart from the Clarissa rematch, there was nothing really there for me.
Mm.
And then the PFL approached me. Obviously, Clarissa's signed with them.
Yeah.
And it was a case of, you know, see how things go. Maybe you can fight Clarissa in the cage. I thought, wow, what a narrative. This has got me From my ears pricked up.
Has she fought yet?
She's had three fights. And what have you made of... I've taken you've watched her fights. What have you made of her sort of transition? Have you learnt anything from that?
Well, very rarely, the first two fights, I hadn't done anything. And I remember thinking, God, she's rubbish. And then a last fight I went, but because I'd done the bit of training myself and obviously struggled, like, this transition myself, yeah. I just thought, wow, fair play at work. Because I get how hard it is to go from a boxer, the stance, to learning the groundwork and in such a small space of time. So really, I can't knock her. Can't knock her now.
But I suppose, that, I mean, from Professional Fighters League, their dream is to get you to in the ring at some point. I mean, that's it. You probably both want to sharpen up and get used to this new discipline before you do that, I guess.
100%. I'd like one or two before I even consider that. But it's refreshing because I'm not going up against... Clarissa hasn't got a black belt in BJJ.
No.
Do you know what I mean? She hasn't been...
She's like you. She went straight into the same position.
So, yeah. Like I said, it's a new narrative and it's never been done, really. A lot of MMA fighters go over to boxing and fight in the ring. Very rarely you see boxers switch over and go into the cage.
Yeah. Would you like to box her again?
I'd love to box her again. I'm to be honest, that's my thorn in my side.
Yeah.
I'd love to box her again. I'm devastated that the rematch never come off straight away and it was just business. Boxing politics was why it never.
Yeah. I'm sure you've watched the fight back. I remember watching it at the time. It was a great fight. But how do you view it now when you watch that fight back from what? Sort of October, wasn't it, to 2022?
Frustrating. Hmm. Frustrating because even, this might be me being a bit full of myself, but I still believe I beat Clarissa. I still believe I've got the skills to beat her. Just the game plan was totally wrong for that fight. And devastated I never got the rematch, to put it right.
The opportunity to have two fights lined up, one in MMA and one in boxing, would be great as well, wouldn't it?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. And look, I'm one of the very rare athletes that, you know, I've got Sky Sports, I've got DAZN there.
Yeah.
Like, who can say they've got the toe in both pools?
Sure.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's time for the birthday spread.
Talking of live sport.
Indeed. Live sport doesn't get any better than this. And it is the birthday spread. Charlie is away, which means stepping up. Very kind of him.
Very nice.
Breaking off from his holes for half an hour to take part in the birthday spread. It's been some time since he's played. It is the fifth best player after his young son, Ian Rushton, in the game. And Harry Hill, who only played it once and lost, is Max Rushton. Good afternoon, Max.
Yes, good afternoon, chaps. Can you hear me okay? Live from the...
Very good.
Oh, excellent. I'm in the Plaza Premium Lounge at Rome Fiumicino Airport, where I paid €53 to be somewhere quiet. So this is actually costing me to play. Oh, wow. So that is my commitment for the birthday spread. And obviously, after so many defeats, I've just been rotting in the reserves recently. But obviously, there's a huge injury crisis. You know, a lot of talk about people playing too many games.
Yeah.
So here I am, and hopefully I'm going to seize my chance.
You could be the Emil Smith Rowe.
Could be. That's the dream. I want to be the Emil Smith Rowe of the birthday spread. Yeah. That's what I've always aspired to be. So here we go. I'm taking no prisoners, Paul. Let me tell you.
Well, not much has changed since you were last here. Jeff Peters is still keeping score.
He's got some great stats.
There he is.
Good.
There he is. He fired off the wrong sound effect. Nothing's really changed.
Charlie Baby.
The crime baby rather than the nerve
centre.
That,
yeah, that's more for Charlie.
Yeah.
So this is the 36th meeting between Paul and Max.
Yeah.
Paul 28, Max 7. The last one was the 3rd of August last year. Paul won it, not surprisingly. Max was winning at the halfway stage, but then Harriet Dart, well, he thought she was 78 and she was actually only 27. And it all kind of fell away from there. So it was a bit of a disaster.
Does allow Andy to do his stand-up if you love the darts, or as he always does.
You were only one off on that, so you nearly hit the bullseye on darts.
Ooh,
so,
beautiful. So I think we'll get underway with timer pressing. I think I should lead us off, Max, which means I have to go first more times, which I think is a help to you because that lays
whatever
down a
prefer.
That lays down a marker.
I don't need your help. I don't need your pity.
Oh, the trash talk has started.
Good.
Anyway, Pelé and Sergio Mendes are still keeping us
Entertaining.
Here we go.
Here we go.
First person.
And it's the fine guitarist, Angus Young. Angus Young. And every Easter, Angus gives me some baked goods and a box of chocolate assortment. I always look forward to my hot cross buns and roses.
Oh, fantastic. He's not from Guns N' Roses,
is he?
No, he's
I looked
from...
him up.
He's from AC/DC.
I thought he was from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, dear.
That's a big mistake. I looked this
just
up.
Just slash that joke out.
Oh, am I going mad? Am I thinking of the wrong Angus? There's too many guitar Anguses.
Angus Young.
Yeah.
Hold on. Oh, no, AC/DC.
Yeah, AC/DC. I didn't think there was
an Angus Gunn. No, he's a goalkeeper.
Angus Gunn isn't in AC/DC.
Well, that's ridiculous. I actually checked this out. How did I do that? Oh, well, no.
The joke still works.
It doesn't work at all.
Maybe you join it. Yeah, you put a lad in a school uniform. Yeah,
well, that's given me a free pass when I do my terrible toppers now.
It certainly has.
That's terrible.
Angus, he's got to be getting on, despite the uniform.
Error. I do apologise to the committee.
He's got to be getting on. What is he now? He's got to be about 60, isn't he? He's got to be 58. I'm going to go 58, Max. What do you think?
58. 58 and still in golf and Norwich. It's very impressive. Wow. I mean, obviously, I hadn't got a clue who it was until that sort of debrief. That was lucky.
Yeah.
But I do think he's a little bit older than
that. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
So I'm going to say 63.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I think you might be right.
He's 69.
Oh, is it?
Australian advantage.
Oh, look, Rosie. I knew Rosie when she was a young girl. So what's that done to the score, Jeff?
It's Paul 11, Max 6.
Good start by Max.
Here we go, here we go.
59 has been around about 1,000 years. Poor play. Anyway, Andy. On to the next one.
Okay, it's...
That's really thrown you there, hasn't it? You've got the wrong band with your Guns N' Roses material.
I can't believe I researched it as well. I don't just throw this together, you know?
Really? And even despite that?
I don't know what happened there.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. I'm confident about this next one.
Yeah.
It's the fine cricketer of yesteryear, Wazim Barry.
He's just moved... Is he in Guns N' Roses?
No, yeah. He's just moved to Walford. He's now Barry from EastEnders.
Hey, beautiful. Harold's Wazim Barry, Max.
I've never heard of Wazim Barry. And I was really hoping for it.
Wazim Barry Glendening. Surely you've heard of him. It's his full name.
It's very dour. Yeah. Very dour.
He's got his own island.
Exactly. That secretly knows more than he would let on.
Hmm.
Oh, no. Here's where it falls apart already. Wazim Barry.
Yeah.
I have to go on the basis that if I haven't heard of him, he's one of those people that's old because you'll have heard of him. Mm. And I haven't heard of Wazim Barry. And I've been across cricket for quite a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 77.
Okay, I think he might be a bit younger than that. I could be wrong.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, not a lot younger. No. I'm going to go 70.
He's 76. What a fine
bit
of work for Max.
You're on fire. Or looking at the newspaper.
Stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, it's in the Italian newspaper. Corriere della Sera.
James, do you remember James Richardson sitting outside the Dromo saying, well, it's Wazim Barry's birthday. Very happy 48th birthday to Wazim. Front cover.
He's on page 3 of Gazzetta dello Sport. Here we are.
Cover of Tutto Sport today. Okay. What's the scores?
Barry are an Italian football team, of course.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Paul 6 out onto 17. Mm. Max 1 out onto 7. And Wazim Barry's now works. We've got a firm of solicitors with the Stone Roses guitarist Manny and the former Leicester, Peterborough, Cheltenham and Cardiff winger Josh Lowe. So it's Barry, Manny, Lowe.
Oh, okay, fantastic. Tremendous. Yeah, nothing. So I say nothing's really changed, Max.
I knew I said
nothing
too early.
Nothing's really changed.
That is low, isn't it? That is poor. Very drastic.
Back to me then, birthday 3, Andy.
It's the presenter of Strictly Come Dancing, Tess Daly. Tess Daly. I don't know if you knew this. Tess is a big Spurs fan from way back.
Is she really?
When her favourite from those days was the late, great Alan Gilzean. She used to constantly encourage his heading ability. Keep glancing.
Oh, keep glancing. This one for the old
really
Spurs
nice.
Fans of the 60s.
Come on. That's
Gilly's
really
glancing
nice.
Headers.
That's excellent. Yeah.
Harold, that's a good question. Tess, it's got to be, what, about 40... 45...
Tess Daly. So I think she's older than me.
Right, okay.
And I'm 40. I'm 45 next week, so you can't use me in the birthday spread. I should have kept that close to my chest.
Not famous enough. But,
no, that is true. Yeah. Like the former voice of Gaviscon.
Ex-Gaviscon.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to say 49.
Okay.
You know what? I was really shocked at this. She's 55.
No.
I know. I couldn't believe it.
Tess, she's wearing well, isn't she?
She wears better than Harriet Dart, for sure.
Yeah.
Very true.
What's the scores, Jeff?
Paul 10 out onto 27. Ooh. Max 6 out onto 13. 14 in it after three.
Wow, this is going well.
To Max to lead us off. Here we go.
Okay. Yeah, okay. He was the president of the Philippines from 2016 to 2022. Rodrigo Duterte.
Oh, he's back. He's back.
We used to go to Liverpool matches together. We always had to meet 30 minutes before the traditional Saturday kickoff time at Duterte.
Duterte. Yeah.
No sound effects.
It's me, is it?
Harold's Duterte. Yeah.
Is it me, Paul?
It is
me,
Max, Paul, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, quite a sort of formidable chap, isn't he? Yeah. Quite right wing, really sort of clamped down.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mess with him. No. You know, but I'd try that joke in front of his. When you're at a gala dinner in the Philippines, Andy, try that joke.
Yeah.
Good. He can't be young, can he?
No.
Let's go. 79.
A bit younger, I'd say, but not much. 73.
It's 79. Oh. Max is on fire.
Oh. No, I can't believe this. No one's in the Italian papers today.
He's been to Charlie's newsagent, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he has.
So Paul is 6 out onto 33, and Max direct hit on 13. Wow. 20. Max leads by 20.
Time is it? This time away from the game has been. He's had warm weather training in Dubai, hasn't he? It's like Arsenal over Christmas. Back to me then to take us into half time.
Okay,
go.
Going into half time, it's the rapper. MC Hammer.
MC Hammer.
And when we shared a flat, we used to do our laundry together. I washed and dried and then passed it on to him to finish. I'd say to him, Hammer, you irons.
Oh, okay, very good.
Stop.
Such a brilliant image.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
MC Hammer, he's got to be older than you think, isn't he? He's got to be about, I'm going to go clickety-click 66, MC Hammer.
Pretty good. Is MC Hammer older than Andy Jacobs? It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I think you're pretty close there. I had 68 in my mind, so okay. I'll go 68.
Yeah. No, he's 62.
62.
Oh, yeah, a bit younger than me,
I've clawed a couple back. Marvellous. Yeah. So, what have we done going into half-time, Jeff?
It's Paul, 37.
Yeah.
Max, 19.
Whoa.
And, of course, their last meeting, Max was leading at half-time before it all unravelled.
Okay, so he's trying to get inside your head there, Max. So stick around. Go and get yourself some lukewarm pasta and a bottle of Peroni, and we will be back to you shortly for the second half. As always, TalkSport listeners, very interested to know how you're faring, probably better than me. Dom says, watch out for Max. He's a chronic cheater. That's a bit harsh.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
He's getting in touch this afternoon. Direct hit with MC Hammer, says David from Brent. You can't touch me. There we are.
David
lovely.
From Brent.
Andy and MC Hammer living together would be a fantastic sitcom pilot, says
it
Devin
would,
Dave.
Yes.
I'd certainly watch it. Max Rushton is playing this afternoon. He's on fire. He's on 19 after five birthdays. I'm on 37. And we've got about 6 minutes to see this game home. So let's get underway. Here's Sergio Mendes and Pelé once again.
Okay, birthday number 6 starting in the second half. It's Marty Pello, the singer Marty Pello. We've always been mates, but we did fall out after large sections of my wedding cake fell from the balcony and hit Marty right across the bonce. It was tears on my pillow.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Tears. Beautiful. Beautifully done. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it makes sense. What do you think, Max? You're leading us off second half.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Which episode of the MC Hammer Andy Jacobs sitcom would they accidentally swap trousers? I feel once you played that.
Well, I mean, you feel like it should be number one, but you don't want to go too
and
early.
Maybe two, three, and four.
Yeah,
as well.
Reader's trousers.
I'm not sure.
Reader's trousers, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, then. So who are we talking about? Who was it?
Marty Pello of Wet.
Marty Pello.
Yeah.
I think Marty Pello might be 64.
64? I wonder if Marty's a bit younger than that. I don't know. I keep making people younger. 62.
59.
Sorry, Marty, if you're listening.
Sorry, Marty.
I'm nerdling. I'm starting to nerdle. Is it going to be enough, though? Jeff, what's the scores?
Paul 3 out onto 40, Max 5 out onto 24. He's a great singer, isn't he, Marty?
Oh,
Freezer,
no.
Jolly good Pello. Anyway.
Oh, okay. Still doing his toppers. Back to me. Birthday 7.
There's no skill in that. Anyway.
There's no skill in
knowing which band somebody's in.
Yeah. Oh, meow.
Anyway, yeah. The next name on the list,
yes,
is Lord Raymond Plant of Highfield.
Planting.
The Emeritus Professor of King's College London from 2001 to 2017, so a long time. Lord Raymond Plant. Yeah. Recently, I've been listening to hours and hours of his bass guitar work for a band I'm putting together.
Yes.
I'm really like to do something else. I'm bored with my plant-based diet.
Oh, wow.
It has a go at me. Blimey.
Yeah, but it's constructed. It's not just two words put together.
Yeah. It's a masterclass.
There's a whole story involved.
You're watching a master at work. The boy Planty.
Planto.
84. What do you reckon, Max?
Yeah, I think he's a little bit older than that.
Okay.
If memory serves me correctly. Planto is 85.
No, Planto is 79.
Oh, sorry, Planto.
Oh,
make him sound like a clown Planto. When you say
I think he's
that.
Planty rather than
he's
Planto.
He's Planty, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Southern Hemisphere, we call him Planto.
Yeah.
The gap has closed. Five out, Paul, onto 45. Six out, Max, onto 30. 15 in it, three to go.
Let's see where this is going.
Here we go. Back to Max, then. Here we go, Andy.
Psychiatrist and convener of the Liberal Democrat Party, Parliamentary Party, House of Lords from 2010 to 2014, Lord John Alderdice. Lord John Alderdice. And we were going to play Monopoly together, but a vital part of the game was missing. Someone had taken Alderdice.
Someone had taken Alderdice. Alderdice. Your Frank Spencer impression.
Yeah.
And just what were his years, Andy? Just remind us.
2010 to 14.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's me, Paul.
Thank you. Sorry, Max.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
That was craft, wasn't it? Alderdice. See, yeah. Jeff, that's real thinking.
I'm learning.
Alderdice is. He's 80 on the nose.
82.
69.
Oh, you've whacked the scores up, but wow, okay.
Yeah, that was not good for Paul, that. No. So 13 out onto 58, Max 11 out onto 41, 17 in it, two to go.
Here we go, back to me.
Okay, he's a businessman, former owner and chief executive of Frank Moan Limited. It's Trond Moan. He's always very kind to me after a Chelsea defeat. When we've lost, there's nothing I like more than a good moan.
Yeah. That's very true. 7-0, blind 70.
71.
Oh, Nerdling himself. Now.
81.
81, so Max is in a good position. Jeff, just remind us where we're at.
Paul 69, Max 51, 18 in it. So, Paul, you need to be 19 either way. Max to go first.
19 swing, Max to go first. Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, he's the astrophysicist with a Nobel Prize in physics. It's Joseph Houghton Taylor. Joseph Houghton Taylor. And he was really attached to the childcare worker who looked after him and Jules Holland when they were young. He never went anywhere without Jules Holland's Houghton nanny.
Yeah. You knew it was coming, you could do nothing about it. Here we go then, Max.
Houghton Taylor.
You've got 19 to work with. You shouldn't blow it from
90.
Here.
Well, all right, mate. I'm going to say 67.
67. Okay. I'm going to say 86.
He's, in fact, a close game. 83.
Oh! It was enough.
Yeah, so it's finished. Paul 72, Max 67. It's Max's first win in the birthday spread since 2022. And closes the gap
stays
on Paul. 28-8.
Winner put 50p on the table then and winner stays on.
Brilliant. I put 50 euros on the table for this.
Of course.
You did.
Good man, Max. God bless you for doing this. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And
my
pleasure.
Love the show.
You're back on Saturday, I take it, are you?
Saturday, 9 o'clock, the game day warm up. Hopefully, get their music right at the start of the show. They keep forgetting.
Oh, okay.
Saturday and Sunday.
Note to the producer. Yes. Thanks very much. Cheers, Max. Thank you, Jeff. We'll catch up with you next week.
Well done, lads.
There we are.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Here we are. That was this afternoon's show as it all unfolded. We'll do it all again tomorrow. We'll have some more clips of the week for you. We're going to be chatting to a British fan overseas who is off to the Spanish Cup final.
Yes.
To watch his adopted team, amongst other things. So do hope you can join us from 1 tomorrow, if not the podcast available at 4, as always. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.